مادة القلم، قضية القلم. نعم، تفسير الحديث ولم يبلغه عقله. كفي يعني it suffices him، كفاه كفاه يكفيه، وإن لم يبلغه يكفيه أن يؤمن به، وإن لم يفهمه لأن فهمه لم يبلغه، لم يبلغ أن يفهم ذاك الشيء، لكن كفاه أن يؤمن به. Do you understand؟ عليكم السلام. Did we understand the question? See, the fitna itself is a fitna of writing today. Everybody is writing, capable and incapable. Everybody is just writing, capable and incapable. It's one of the fitna of the last hour. Raf'ul qalam, the pen, every person is writing. People, everybody is writing. So there will be books seen everywhere. So the first problem with the brother, in the case especially that we mentioned, is people are writing without learning Aqidah. That is a blame. But if the person feels that he has known enough and that now he can write, and he writes and falls into errors, the fact that he has fallen into error, it does not mean that he is not in error, no matter who he is. No matter who he is, that error is an error. The only thing it will give him excuse that he was ignorant of it. But the fact still remains that that thing he has said regarding the matter opposes what the companions were upon. He has heard, no doubt, that is not La ilaha illallah. That Allah that he was saying, Allah said, I created Adam with my hand, and he is saying, no, it is power. It is not La ilaha illallah. It is not it. It is not it. But we will now give him excuse. He was ignorant of it. So he must be ready to swallow one of them. He must either be ready to swallow his being Ash'ari, or he must be ready to swallow that, I was ignorant and I erred. If he insists and says, no, I didn't err, Kinika will tell him, be careful. We'll start giving him evidence on this matter. Tafhimuhu al-adillah. We'll try to make him understand the evidences. If he still continues and start arguing and start without starting, you are walking in the boundary of being what? Ash'ari. So he must be ready to swallow one. Either swallow the comment that he is ignorant of that matter, and he should agree. If he agrees with that one, there is no problem. But if he does not agree, say, no, yeah, I was not ignorant of the matter, I knew what I was saying, there is another discussion altogether. Do we understand? But the fact that we are going to say he was ignorant and look for excuses for him is not a reason to say he did not fall into the problem. No matter who he is. And from what the ulama used to know, the akida of a person is his writings. What did he write? Someone was saying to me that if someone goes to Sheikh Al-Albani and says, so and so is somebody is pious, they ask me, Allahu Asa, did he write something? How was it easy to say that Khomeini, Ayatollah Khomeini of Iran, was a kafir? Many scholars declared him kafir, including Sheikh Al-Albani. Alayhi rahmatullah. Because he wrote a book, Hukumatul Islamiyah, Islamic government. Inside it, there are abatil there that Khomeini wrote. So writings, if people knew what it is, people would be careful. They will run away from writing. So if you write, you see it is from what you wrote, we know. All these things they are talking about Ahmad bin Hanbal, how do we know? From what? That is, قَيِّدُ الْعِلْمَ بِالْمَاذَا بِالْكِتَابَةِ. It's a preserve knowledge with what? Writing it. So we know what he's saying. If he thinks that he does not believe in what he has written, then that's another issue. That, yeah, I only wrote it, but I didn't believe it. We accuse him of deceiving his readers. So the easiest thing, you, my brothers, is just for him to accept that I was ignorant, khalas, and we are ready to give him excuse. In fact, we have already given him excuse. Allahu a'lam. Alaykum salam.
When you were discussing about how the
Sunnah, this is the last question, inshallah.
You did talk about the fact that minhaj was incorrect with that of the salah. Well, I was not looking at it that in some kind of salah, the methodology of people do things might be different. So I now felt that there's a need for me to maybe hear from you the true meaning of
Minhaj. Minhaj is what you have said. Methodology of the past predecessors. Their methodology in doing da'wah. Their methodology in their akidah, in their ibadah. In everything that a Muslim does. How did they do it? So the Muslim must find out too. If somebody says it's permissible to be reading Quran in the house of politicians, gathering your students in your madrasa, going to read Quran in the house of politicians, I will just ask you a simple question. A'adha ma kana alayhi ashabu rasul? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa radiyallahu anhu. Is this what the companions were upon? They are going to the house of politicians about reading Quran, collecting money, and collecting ram. They were not upon something like that. And other things. If you come to the minbar, start cursing people. We ask you, when Hajjaj bin Yusuf was on earth, there were companions there. Were they cursing him? In fact, the companions were educating and preventing people from cursing him. There are comments of Anas Malik ibn Abbas regarding things like this, regarding Hajjaj bin Yusuf himself. So that is manhajiyya. The issue of giving takfir to leaders. It's also manhajiya, but in the end, it will go to akida. Do we understand? So their manhaj, their methodology as regards akida, their methodology as regards ibadah, their methodology as regards mu'amala, dealing with people and making da'wah. So if somebody's manhaj is away from their manhaj and it's something that has to do with Islam, they will say, oh, you are not following the manhaj of the Salaf, khalas. No matter who the person is. Alaykum salam. Don't add to my own, add to your own. Is it in addition to my own, to your own? Okay, good.
Now.
Okay. In matters like this, I always prefer that we still do more of educating people than branding the people. Do we understand? Don't bother now whether you should say who they are. Bother more about how do they know what you have known. Because many of the people, if they know these things, they will change. They will not do what they are doing. But they just did not know it. But the fact that they didn't know it also is not a reason to say they are right. They are right because they didn't know it. Where is that one? They are correct because they were wrong. No, they were wrong. So our efforts should not be, how, where do we brand them? No. Our efforts should be, how will they know these things that we have known? Ala qadril istita. They are just as we are able to. How will they know these things? Not how you are branding them. Hey, you are Shia. You are educating the people. Should take precedence over branding the people. Do we understand? كل ما أقول هذا وأستغفر الله ولكم سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا.
من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله وبعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from His mercy. He has made it possible for us to converge today so that we can continue with the reading of the book Usul al-Sunnah by Imam Ahmad ibn Muhammad ibn Hanbal alayhi rahmatullah. And today, inshallah, we'll continue with the point number 35 on these strategies we are using, the point on Qital al-Lusus. But before this point, it is important that we have it in mind that this very point, the 35th point, we could wonder why is it coming immediately after a discussion on the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He just told us about the companions and their virtues, and he started the book talking about the importance of the companions, and here he's going to talk about dealing with al-lusus wal-khawarij, the arm robbers and the khawarij, those people who we had mentioned a little bit about them before, and we shall soon mention more about them today inshallah in trying to understand who the khawarij are. So he's talking about how to deal with them, but at least we know who arm robbers are, burglars or thieves. We know who they are. So it means when we Muslims go out there and say we are proud and we are happy that our Islam speaks about all aspects of life, I am sure at those moments we don't think that Islam even spoke about how to deal with thieves and arm robbers or those who came to take our property. It deals with it, how we are going to relate, how we are going to deal with them. May Allah preserve us all if they come to us. So the ulama have mentioned that Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal did this so that we know that, like he mentioned the issue of rebelling against the leaders immediately after the companions, that no matter how difficult it is to the mind that a leader is oppressive and yet is not to be fought in rebellion, the same way we have to understand that as difficult as it is that the fitna of facing or being attacked by a robber or a burglar is, or a thief is, we still have to follow the way of the companions in handling the matter, as difficult as that matter can be. And by the time we read the point now, we know that it's really difficult. But in doing it, we still have to act in line with the way of the companions, radiallahu anhum. So we get two things from it. We get the reward of acting, as we shall read from the related ahadith. We get the reward of acting in obedience to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in accordance to the way of the companions. And in addition to that, we'll get the help of Allah. Because what brings about the help of Allah regarding what we do is how in line what we do is with the instructions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more in line, the more we conform with the instructions of Allah regarding what we do, the more Allah's help will come to us regarding that same matter. So in that point, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal alayhi rahmatullah, he says, وَكِتَالُ اللُّصُوصِ وَالْخَوَارِجِ جَائِزٌ إِذَا عَرَضُوا لِلرَّجُلِ فِي نَفْسِهِ وَمَالِهِ فَلَهُ أَنْ يُقَاتِلَ عَنْ نَفْسِهِ وَمَالِهِ وَيَدْفَعَ عَنْهَا بِكُلِّ مَا يَقْدِرُ وَلَيْسَ لَهُ إِذَا فَارَقُوهُ أَوْ تَرَكُوهُ أَنْ يَطْلُبَهُمْ وَلَا يَتَّبِعَ آثَارَهُمْ لَيْسَ لِأَحَدٍ إِلَّا الْإِمَامَ أَوْ وُلَاةَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ إِنَّمَا لَهُ أَنْ يَدْفَعَ عَنْ نَفْسِهِ في مقامه ذلك وينوي بجهده ألا يقتل أحدا فإن مات على يديه في دفعه عن نفسه في المعركة فأبعد الله المقتول وإن قتل هذا في تلك الحال وهو يدفع عن نفسه وماله رجوت له الشهادة كما جاء في الأحاديث وجميع الآثار في هذا إنما أمر بقتاله ولم يؤمر بقتله ولا اتباعه ولا يجيز عليه إن سرع أو كان جريحا وإن أخذه أسيرا فليس له أن يقتله ولا يقيم عليه الحد ولكن يرفع أمره إلى من والله الله فيحكم فيه Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal alayhi rahmatullah said, وَكِتَالُ اللُّصُوصِ وَالْخَوَارِجِ Fighting the thieves and the khawarij, those who are khawarij, will describe a little bit about them inshallah, and why they have put them together with the thieves and amrabas here. He says, وَكِتَالُ اللُّصُوصِ وَالْخَوَارِجِ جَائِزٌ To fight thieves, to come in confrontation with thieves and robbers, and the khawarij is jaiz, is permissible in our deen. إِذَا عَرَدُوا لِرَجُلُ فِي نَفْسِهِ وَمَالِهِ If they come to seize the life, that is, if they come in search of the life or the property of a man, فَلَهُ أَن يُقَاتِلَ عَن نَفْسِهِ وَمَالِهِ It is in his due, it is in his right, أَن يُقَاتِلَ عَن نَفْسِهِ To fight in defense of his soul, وَمَالِهِ and his property وَيَدْفَعَ عَنْهَا and he should defend it بِكُلِّ مَا يَقْدِرُ with all of what he is able to وَلَيْسَ لَهُ إِذَا فَارَقُوهُ and it is not his right, it is not of him, it is not due to him إِذَا فَارَقُوهُ when they leave him أَوْ تَرَقُوهُ or they take parts other than his, they leave him, they abandon him أن يطلبهم for him to start running after them ولا يتبع آثارهم or seek means to get to them he should not do so ليس لأحد this is not for any person إلا الإمام except the leader of the Muslims أو ولاة المسلمين or those in charge of the authority of the Muslims إنما له the only thing he has to do the Muslim The only right he has is أن يدفع عن نفسه في مقام ذلك to defend himself at that point in time. وينوي بجهده and in the effort of in his defending himself, he should intend by it ألا يقتل أحدا that he is not going to kill any one of them. فإن مات على يديه في دفعه عن نفسه في المعركة If in that place that he is, the person whom he fights dies in his hands, فَعَبَادَ اللَّهُ الْمَقْتُولُ The one who is killed, that is the thief, that one defends oneself against, the thief that is killed in the process, أَبْعَادَ اللَّهُ الْمَقْتُولُ Allah puts him away from his mercy. He says, وَإِن قُتِلَ هَذَا تِلْكَ الْحَالِ But the one who is attacked, If he is killed in that circumstance, وَهُوَ يَدْفَعُ عَنْ نَفْسِهِ At the time when he is defending his life and of course his property, وَمَالِهِ He says, رَجَوْتُ لَهُ الشَّهَادَ I expect for him, I wish for him, I envisage for him that he is a martyr, كَمَا جَاءَ فِي الْأَحَادِيثِ As has been reported in the various narrations from the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. He says, عليه رحمة الله, وجميع الآثار في هذا, and all of the reports that have been narrated from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and the companions and those who came after them regarding this matter, إنما أمر بقتاله, they only say we should fight them, ولم يؤمر بقتله, it has not said, the narrations have not indicated that we should intend to kill those people, ولا اتباعه, or run after them, ولا يجيز عليه إن سرع or if he falls then we pound on him أو كان جريحا or in the process of fighting to defend ourselves he gets injured and then we use the opportunity to pound on him we have not been told to do so وإن أخذه أسيرا if he is caught like Some thieves go to an area, and as we know it happens, one or two of them is caught and arrested in the process. It says, فَلَيْسَ لَهُ أَنْ يَقْتُلَهُ. It's not in the right of the Muslim to kill that person. وَلَا يُكِيمُ عَلَيْهِ الْحَدَّ. And it's not to establish the legal punishment upon the person. Oh, every person who steals 4 dinar cut his hands, so you cut his hands. Every person who fights, who robs and kills someone should be killed, so you kill him. He said, no, you should not do so. The Muslim should not do so. وَلَكِنْ يَرْفَعُ أَمْرَهُ إِلَىٰ مَنْ وَاللَّهُ اللَّهُ فَيَحْكُمُ فِيهِ. What is rather to do is to get his matter, the case of such persons that are caught, to those people that Allah has put in the place of authority. Meaning, what is said regarding taking laws into the hands. The Muslim does not take laws into his hands in that case. What he needs to do is to defend himself as far as the case is concerned. So this is the literal translation of what the Imam said, alayhi rahmatullah, regarding thieves and the Khawarij. So he said, وَقِتَالُ اللُّصُوصِ وَالْخَوَارِجِ. Fighting the thieves. One of the scholars, while explaining who the lusus are, who the thieves are, Al-Shaykh Abdullah ibn Abdul Rahman Jibreen, he said, اللصوص هم الذين يعتدون على الأموال. The thieves are those who they come upon people's wealth. They like to steal his wealth, burglars, robbers, with or through means that Allah has not permitted. So a man jumps into the house of another person to pick his property. Is a lisf, bikasrillah, and his jamu is what is referred to as lusus. So this lisf, this robber or burglar or thief, as we prefer to call, refer to him, he said, fighting them. He said, these people are yataduna ala al-amwal wa misluhum, and people like them. And he mentioned also wa qatta'u tariq, and those people who are armed robbers, the highway, that's where they stop the people to get their properties from them, and things like that. Then the other people are the Khawarij. Who are the Khawarij? I remember that we discussed khuruj ala wulatil umur, rebelling against leaders. Those people who rebel are the Khawarij. The one who rebels against the Muslim authorities are the Khawarij. So the single person is Khariji, لأنه خرج على ولاة الأمور. He rebelled against the people in authority. So one of them is Khariji, and they are referred to as Khawarij. And their action is referred to as what? Kharijiyya. So the person who, for example, like we had mentioned in the previous lessons that we did, an imam comes upon the minbar and saying, there's a leader, may Allah punish him, may Allah destroy his family, may Allah curse him, may Allah not make him. He has what? The dispositions of Kharijiyya. Do you understand? In the last discussions I said, we should avoid labeling the people, but we should understand the matter. We should understand that his act of cursing the leaders on the minbar is Kharijiyya. Even when we may not refer to him and say it's what? Khariji. Or it's from the Khawarij. So we should leave leveling, but we should understand the matter that what this person is doing is what? Kharijiyya. And he is being a Khariji. But we can avoid saying you are Khariji. Because there is difference between somebody, for example, being a kafir and coming into an act of a kufr. Somebody can be doing that act and it's not Khawarij. It's not from the Khawarij. Somebody can be cursing the leaders on the minbar and it's not Khawarij. But he's doing it because of his own ignorance that Islam does not permit Muslims, leaders, to abuse the leaders of the people in public, or curse them, or pray against them, or even have secret meetings. One of the scholars was asked that, does Kharijiyya, is Kharijiyya limited to open confrontation to leaders? They say no. Even when you make secret councils against them, it is part of Kharijiyya. You gather with 4 or 5 people and you start talking. See that leader? There is this also to him. May Allah curse him. May Allah. There is no difference between that and coming upon the minbar to announce the curse of Allah upon them. So that act is the act of Kharijiyya. They have aqaid. They have aspects of aqidah. Because they, the Khawarij, The ulama also refer to them as Ashabul Wa'id, the people of threats. Why? Because where Allah threatens that, for example, that وَمَنْ قَتَلَ مُؤْمِنًا مُتَعَمِّدًا فَجَزَاؤُهُ جَهَنَّمَ خَالِدًا فِيهَا. The one who kills a Muslim deliberately is going to be in hell forever. So they will say, yes, Allah says he will be in hell forever. And he will be in hell forever. If he seeks forgiveness, Allah will not forgive him. He will be in hell forever. So because of that, they believe that such persons who go into Kaba'ir, who commits any major sins, that they are kuffar. And since they are kuffar, their blood and their property is halal. So that is why they come and take the property of the Muslims. Do we understand? For example, a leader rules by other than what Allah has revealed, while acknowledging the fact that it is obligatory upon him to rule by what Allah reveals. But for one personal failure or the other, he ruled by what other than what Allah has revealed. Order is an instruction Allah gives. Because ruling by what other than Allah has revealed is not restricted to the leaders alone. It is regarding every Muslim. Every Muslim who knows this is what Allah has ruled on this matter, but rules and acts in the opposite as ruled by other than what Allah has revealed. The matter is regarding what he himself is capable of exercising upon himself. That's one matter. And what the community has the right to exercise upon, which has to do with government. But the verse does not segregate between that this one, if it has to do with government, yes, it is kufr. If it does not have to do with government, then it is not kufr. What it says is, وَمَنْ. And this man is min sigatil umum, is from the statement that makes us understand generality. So yes, it affects the leader because he is the leader and is to operationalize the Sharia of Islam. It affects him in that manner. But it will affect also individuals because in that case they are the governments of themselves, so to speak. So if somebody says anyone who fails to rule by what Allah has revealed is a kafir, and as such his blood is legal, and his life should be taken, and then his property should be taken. It means, for example, every person that works in a bank that is a riba-based bank, for example, is due for that. His blood is legal and his property is legal. So this is the position of the Khawarij, but it's the wrong position. Because many verses in the Quran and the Ahadith makes us understand that the fact that someone commits a major sin does not mean that he's a kafir. Except if he is saying that that major sin is halal, based on knowledge, and other things that are mawani or takfir. So he's not angered, he's not forced, he's not overjoyed, and other things that ulama mentioned. I think we have mentioned some of these things sometimes. So none of these mawani or takfir is available with him. But he says, no, it is right for me to work in the bank, and it is halal to take riba and make this, then such things can be considered as an act of kufr. But somebody who just works there and recognizes that it is not permissible for him to work there, but we are just doing it. We are just working there. We are just doing the work. May Allah forgive us. This kind of a person is an asi, is a sinner, is committing an act of fisk, disobedience to Allah, an act of sin. So in the view of the Khawarij, such a person is a kafir. But in the view of Ahlul Sunnah al-Jamaat, such a person is not a kafir. Because he has not made istihlal, he is not saying what he is doing is halal. And then if he seeks forgiveness, Allah will forgive him because Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. Allah لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ. He does not forgive that partners are associated with him. وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ. Any less than that, Allah forgives it. لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. To whom he wills. So it means what Allah does not forgive is what? Shirk. And that's why when we are talking about Shafa'a, we referred us to many ahadith regarding, like one of them, the Prophet ﷺ said that some people will be taken from hell. They were Muslims. They committed sins that warranted that they were taken to hell. But Allah will forgive them because kuffar inside Jahannam will be telling them that, look, even you who say you believe in Allah, are you not the one inside Jahannam now? And they will cry to Allah, Allah, they are abusing us because we believe in you. And Allah will say, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, that wa bi'izzati wa jalali, la ukhrijanna man qala la ilaha illallah. By my power and my authority, everyone who believed in la ilaha illallah, I liberate them from the fire of hell. So these people will be liberated. And they will be taken to the fire, to the river, that's where they will be washed. Because from the fire, their bodies would have been like coal. So they will be washed. And even at that, when they get into Al-Jannah, they will still be referred to as Jahannamiyun, freed slaves from Jahannam. Because they will still be shown black because of their intense darkness from the punishment of hell. May Allah save us from it. So when these people come into Al-Jannah and they are still referred to as Jahannamiyun, they will cry to Allah, Allah, you have forgiven us. So don't let them see these scars of punishment in hell enough. And they will be, Allah will command that their skin are changed to the skin of those in Al-Jannah. And they will be changed completely. And by that, people will stop seeing them as Jahannamiyun. These sets of people, they have not done anything. Other than that, they had iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All other things are acts of sins. So it meant that their iman was beneficial even when they were committing sins on earth. It means those sins they committed on earth did not make them to become what? Kuffar. If those sins had made them to become kuffar, they would not have been liberated for their belief in La ilaha illallah. Do we understand? So it meant that the Khawarij saying that anyone who committed a major sin was a kafir, which would mean that his blood was legal and his property was legal, that was the reason why the Khawarij were attached with the thieves here. Because the Khawarij, each time they declare a group of Muslims as kuffar, they will declare their property legal, so you can go and take their property. And that is the kind of thing Faisal is saying. He declares some people to take their property. If you declare people kuffar, take their property. And many people have robbed banks in the Western world in the name of this, with this idea. They arrested many of them in the US and UK. They put them into prisons. Because they are thinking that, yes, those people are not Muslims. Or those people are not Muslims. And so their property is legal. So that is why Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, alayhi rahmatullah, has placed the Khawarij and the thieves together. Because they both come for the property and the lives of people. Do we understand? These people come for their own personal benefit, the thieves. But the Khawarij come from the ideological perspective that those persons are kuffar, who can be killed and whose property can be taken. So against these two sets of people, he said, alayhi rahmatullah, that fighting them is ja'izun, is permissible in the sharia. In fact, some of the ulama say obligatory, wajibun, that one must fight himself in defense against this set of people. إِذَا عَرَضُوا لِرَجُلِ, if they attack a person, في نَفْسِهِ وَمَالِهِ, regarding his life, they want to take his life, he should fight them. وَمَالِهِ, they want to take his property, he should fight them. Whether they are thieves or they are from the people of Khuruj. It says, فَلَهُ أَن يُقَاتِلَ عَن نَفْسِهِ وَمَالِهِ, it is in his right to fight in defense of his life and his property or wealth. You see, يَدْفَعَ عَنْهَا بِكُلِّ مَا يَقْدِرُ, he is going to defend his life and his property with everything that he is capable of. Al-Imam Abdullah ibn Mubarak, alayhi rahmatullah, he said, يُقَاتِلُ عَمْ مَالِهِ وَلَوْ دِرْحَمَيْنِ, he is going to fight in defense of his property, even if it is 2 dirhams. 2 dirhams now is about 10,000 naira. Even if it's 2 dirhams, he must fight to defend his property. You say, oh, the property is small, let them take that one. Fight to defend the property. And he said, alayhi rahmatullah, bikulli ma yaqdir, with every of what he is able to. Here, some of the ulama explain and say, his firepower should not be so great and greater than that of the person attacking him, such that in the end the person, he may end up killing the person. It would have meant that from the very beginning he had intended to kill the person. Do you understand? It would have meant that in the very beginning he had intended to kill the person. So the person, for example, is coming with the hands. I know he's so strong, I can't confront him with the hand. Don't come with a gun. Oh, he's so strong, he's coming with a machete. Don't come with a bomb. But someone coming with the hands, perhaps a stick would be better for you. Of course, we are not expected to be so weak as Muslims. So someone is coming with a gun, perhaps you may need a bomb in that case. Because the two can take lives, and you want to defend your life. So he said, "Bikulli ma yakdir," with everything that the Muslim is capable of coming with, he should come with it in defense of his life and property. وَلَيْسَ لَهُ. And not only that, the ulama also mentioned Imam Shamsul Haqq al-Azim al-Abadi in his sharh of this hadith, that it also has to do with his household, his wife and his children. As he defends himself, that is how he has to also defend them. They picked all these from narrations we shall read to us, inshallah. So they say, وَلَيْسَ لَهُ إِذَا فَارَقُوهُ أَوْ تَرَقُوهُ أَنْ يَطْلُبَهُمْ. So when the robbers run away or leave him, let him not follow them. Say, oh, they passed here. Don't go. Stay in your house. You can give the information, inshallah, as we shall get there, to the police or to those in authority to do the job. But you don't say, oh, they follow here, so you follow them. As they are running away, you go there and you follow them. So they say, لَيْسَ لَهُ. He does not have that right when he's left and then he runs after them. He says, وَلَا يَتَّبِعَ أَثَارَهُمْ. He's not also going to follow. Where do they stay? Where do they camp? Where do they, and all this, and start looking for them one after the other. It is not from his right. The rights of the individual Muslim. Let's not forget about that. He said, لَيْسَ لِأَحَدٍ إِلَّا الْإِمَامِ. This right is not for anyone except the Imam, that is those in authority, أو ولات المسلمين, or those in the authority of the Muslims. Meaning, the Muslim does not single-handedly start running after a thief. No, he passed through here. If in the process of perhaps investigation, maybe the government caught some thieves and Khawarij and all this, they wanted some people to recognize them that were attacked so that they could serve as the witnesses for the prosecuting government, then that's a different case altogether, because he has to also cooperate with the people in authority as an obligation on him. So that will not be counted as looking for the people or searching after them or running after them. But when it has to do with, for example, he himself running after them to search for them and all this, the Sharia does not give him the right to do so. It says, إِنَّمَا لَهُ. It is only for him, أَنْ يَدْفَعَ عَنْ نَفْسِهِ فِي مَقَامِهِ ذَلِكِ. What he only owes himself is, at that point in time that he is attacked, he should defend himself against those people in preservation of his wealth and his life. وَيَنْوِيَ بِجُهْدِهِ. And as he is defending himself, fighting them, and face to face with them and all this, what he should have in mind is أَلَّا يَقْتُلَ أَحَدًا, that he is not going to kill any one of them. One of the learned people was asked in a gathering regarding a Muslim woman that a man approaches, أعوذ بالله, to rape her, and she holds a knife. Should she kill the person? Should she kill such a person? So the alim said he should not kill the person. He should not kill the person. Perhaps what she should do is to use it as much as it is possible to put the person away. But she should not have it in mind that I would rather kill you. Like the Imam said, alayhi rahmatullah, in the end, the person may die from her in the process of still trying to defend herself and her life. But it should not be the very first thing that should come to her mind. The first thing is, I just want to defend myself so that this man doesn't have his way, or perhaps until people can come around or something like that. But if in the end of the struggles, she still has to kill the man to get that done, then she should kill the man. But it should not be the very first thing that comes to the mind. That day, some sister shouted, ah, Then he started to give more explanations regarding the matter. So all those kind of positions were taken from the comments of the scholars like this. So he's not to do that. He's not to intend to kill the person from the very beginning. So he now said, alayhi rahmatullah, that فَإِن مَاتَ عَلَى يَدَيْهِ فِي دَفْعِهِ أَن نَفْسِهِ فِي الْمَعْرَكَةِ. But if it happens that مَاتَ عَلَى يَدَيْهِ, the person dies from the hands of the person who is defending himself at that place. If it now happens that the person dies there, فَعَبَادَ اللَّهُ الْمَكْتُولِ, Allah puts the one who is killed, Allah puts him away from his favor. Allah puts him away from his rahmah. Ulama say that this is, if the person is a Muslim and he does not repent from that act until, of course, he was killed. He was killed on the act. If Allah does not forgive the person, because if a Muslim is upon a sin and he dies upon that sin, not having sought forgiveness from Allah, it does not mean that Allah cannot forgive him on the day of Qiyamah, even when he has not sought forgiveness from that sin before he died. A Muslim is upon a sin, not shirk, and he dies upon that sin without seeking forgiveness from Allah. It does not mean that Allah will not forgive that sin and put him into Al-Jannah. It does not mean so. Allah can forgive him and put him into Al-Jannah without any punishment. But that is what ulama refer to. They say, tahta mashi'atillah. It is if Allah wills. It is if Allah wills. The question is, فَمَنْ يَعْمَنُ مَكْرَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمِ الْفَاسِكِينَ. Who are those who are confident that Allah will forgive us, except that they are fusaq, sinners? And that's why when you see a lot of people who engage in drinking, smoking, womanizing, lying, all this, they rely and say, Allah will forgive us. So it makes them increase in that sin. There is nothing that says Allah will forgive you. There is nothing that says so. He can, if he wills. That's why he says, وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَى. He forgives other than shirk to whom he wills. But shirk, no forgiveness. Disbelief in Allah or association of partners with him, no forgiveness. No forgiveness if the person dies without repenting. No repentance, and he dies like that. Allah will not forgive the person. But other sins, the person is a Muslim, but dies upon sins, any sin, Allah can forgive it because of this verse of the Quran. That إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. And there are so many evidences regarding this. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us about a man who was so much of a sinner that he thought that Allah can never forgive him. So he told his children, this hadith is in one of the two Sahihain, that if he dies and he should be buried, he should be burnt, made to dust, and thrown in the ocean. He said because he is aware that if Allah gets hold of him, he will finish. Allah can never forgive him because he thought he had sinned. And the Prophet said, and Allah forgave him. Ulama say, why? Why is it that Allah forgave him? They said, for the reason that he believes that it is Allah that forgives. He believes that it is Allah that forgives. And they have not mentioned that he committed sins that has to do with shirk, for which forgiveness is being mentioned, that no forgiveness for shirk, for the person who dies upon shirk. It has not been mentioned. But the fact that he realizes that Allah is the one who forgives, but in his own case he will not forgive, but it would mean that he has realized that Allah forgives. That is one. Secondly, they say he believes that there is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has an ability to gather him. But he thinks, because of his low intelligence and ignorance, that what he has done will not make Allah gather him. But it means that he recognizes that Allah gathers people. so that it is this his faith, because فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهُ وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَهُ. Every little thing every person does, good or bad, he will get it. So for the slightest fact that he believes that, one, Allah forgives, two, Allah is the one who raises people, and he himself, he has committed a lot of sins, that he does not like to meet Allah having committed those sins, carrying those bags of sins, for that Allah forgave him. So all this makes us understand that the fact that a person dies upon a sin does not mean that Allah can never forgive the sin. The issue is, it is tahta mashi'atillah. If he likes, azabahu, he punishes him. If he likes, yakfiru lahu, he forgives him. Do we understand? So this makes us understand that even in such cases, the person should not at the beginning intend to kill the person, but she should intend to put a defense to him or herself. So for those efforts, he said, وَيَنْوِيَ بِجُهُدِهِ أَلَّا يَكْتُلَ أَحَدًا. For what he does, he should intend not to kill anyone. فَإِن مَاتَ عَلَى يَدَيْهِ فِي دَفْئِهِ أَنْ نَفْسِهِ فِي الْمَعَرَكَ فَعَبَادَ اللَّهُ الْمَكْتُولِ. So if that person dies, the one who is killed, the thief who is killed, Allah puts him away from his rahmah. So they say if it's a Muslim, what it means is that the excess reward he would have gotten not to have done that action, he will miss it. The excess reward he will get, because not to commit a sin brings about reward. Someone has an opportunity to commit zina, he does not commit the zina, Allah rewards him for not committing zina, because Allah prohibits us to commit zina. So that rahmah, that mercy of Allah that he will get if he had abstained from stealing or robbing people, he missed it. So he's put away from that mercy of Allah. Do we understand? When we talk about the hadith related, we will say some of what they said, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam said, فَإِن قَتَلْتَهُ, if you kill him, فَهُوَ فِي النَّارِ, it's in the fire. Ulama say, إِن لَمْ يَكْفِرْ لَهُ اللَّهُ, if Allah did not forgive him, فَهُوَ فِي النَّارِ, لَكِنْ قَدْ يَكْفِرْ لَهُ اللَّهُ, Allah could forgive him. Because he had said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَكْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَكْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ. And stealing is duna shirk. Shirk is the greatest sin, and stealing is lesser than it. And he says he can forgive any lesser than shirk as he wills. So the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said he will be in fire if he dies like that, is he will be in fire if he is not forgiven by Allah, even when he died as a person robbing or stealing someone's property or attempting to rape a woman, a'udhu billah. So he said, عليه رحمة الله, وَإِن كُتِلَ هَذَا فِي تِلْكَ الْحَالِ وَهُوَ يَدْفَعُ عَنْ نَفْسِهِ وَمَالِهِ. But the person who is attacked, فَإِن كُتِلَ, if he is killed in that situation, while he is defending himself, is defending his life, protecting it, and is also protecting his property. If he is killed, رَجَوْتُ لَهُ الشَّهَادَ, I wish for him, I envisage for him. Why did he say so? We'll read that in the next point, inshallah. Why did he not say it's a shaheed, mubasharatan? It's a mataya. It is wrong for us to say any person who died is a mataya. It is wrong to say so-and-so person died as a mataya, except those that Allah and his messenger told us that they are matayas. It is wrong to say that somebody is a mataya, shaheed, is a mataya, unless Allah and his messenger tell us that this is a mataya. So that's why he didn't say he is a mataya. He said, Rajautu lahu, I envisage, I hope he will be a mataya, a mataya. Do we understand? This is because of many other narrations. I hope we'll come across those narrations in the next point we'll read, inshallah, regarding the fact that it's not permissible to refer to any person as a mataya. So when people say, ah, Hassan al-Banna is Mataya, who told you that it's Mataya? Ah, so and so is Mataya, who told you that it's Mataya? He is Mataya. He said, Rajautu lahu shahada. This is what the A'imma will say. I envisage, I expect, I hope, hopefully he's a shahad, he's a shaheed. You don't say bil jazm that he is shaheed. Say hopefully he's a shaheed. It says, kama ja'a fil ahadith, as has been reported in some ahadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The first hadith is the hadith of Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu, who said that جَاءَ رَجُلٌ إِلَىٰ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ فَقَالَ. A man came to the Prophet of Allah, to Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and said, Ya Rasulallah, O Messenger of Allah, أَرَأَيْتَ إِنْ جَاءَ رَجُلٌ يُرِيدُ أَخْذَ مَالِي. What do you consider good for me? إِنْ جَاءَ رَجُلٌ, if a man comes, وَيُرِيدُ مَالِي, and he intends to take away my property, what do you deem fit that I do? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, فَلَا تُعْتِهِ مَا لَكَ, فَلَا تُعْتِهِ مَا لَكَ, do not give him your property. Ulama say, if a thief comes, say, give me the money. Say, don't give it to him. The Prophet said so. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. I said that it is something that it will be difficult on the mind. Just like we were saying that the Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that obey the leader even when he's oppressing you, taking your property, taking everything, still obey him. He's not giving you your rights and yet he's still taking your property. He said, yes, obey him. The area where you don't obey him is when he commands you to sin. Don't obey him in that case. He says, فَلَا طَعَةَ فِي الْمَعْصِيَةَ. So there is no obeying somebody regarding a sin. But not a sin, he didn't command you to sin, but he's still taking your property to follow your leader. It is heavy on the mind, is it not? And that's why when people like that, when people discuss that, it is emotion that they will use, they will employ in discussing it, not knowledge and evidence. If somebody says, look at the leaders now, they take people's property, they misappropriate money, they do this, what is it celebrating? Emotion. He has not said Allah said Prophet say, which is knowledge and Islam. So, but he will engineer emotions. So we have to go tomorrow. Brothers, inshallah, people shall have inshallah emotions. So if the matter is to be taken based on emotion, it will be like that. Everybody says, inshallah, inshallah, jihad, jihad. You start seeing people starting to tie a turban on their head. They didn't tie the turban before that time. But that emotion, that time will charge them and then people start looking for turban. In fact, people will carry their bed sheets in the hostel and tie it up, you know, shouting, Allahu Akbar. One of the brothers said to me that he was in Saudi Arabia at one of the last riots somewhere here in Nigeria. It was shown on the CNN or something. And someone was carrying a TV on his head. And he was there, he knew the place where the person was, and he could see that that person perhaps is just one of the guys on the road, but who exploited the opportunity that, oh, we are doing jihad. So they broke into the stalls of people, and they carried the property. He was carrying a refrigerator on his head. I was shouting, Allahu Akbar. He said, subhanAllah, look at this one. I know this place where he has gone to take this property. So that is jihad. But the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that the one who takes a string away for himself from the property of a group of people that are captured, Allah will tie him with that thing in the fire. So how do you do that with a fridge? How do you do with a fridge? He fought in the war, but he took away something. And that thing will make him go to the fire. What about the fridge? He said, Iqal. A rope, small rope. He took it away. It will make him go to the fire. What about the one who took the fridge? And he shouted, Allahu Akbar. If somebody kill him in the place, they say, oh, he's shaheed. He died in the war front. So, we are not to do that. And the matter is not to be approached based on emotion. It must be approached based on what did Allah say we should do and what did the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam says we should do. So the Prophet said, don't give him your property. So the man said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَرَأَيْتَ إِنْ قَاتَلَنِي. So what do you say, what can you say regarding if he fights me? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, قَاتِلْهُ. Fight him too. Alayhi salatu wasalam. So he said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَرَأَيْتَ إِنْ قَتَلَنِي. The first one, qatala. The second one, qatala. The first one, qatala, fight. The second one, qatala, kill. So he says, what if he kills me? The first says, fa anta shaheed. You are shaheed in that case. Qala ara'aita in qataltuhu. So what do you feel? What if I'm the one that killed him? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, huwa fi nar. He is in the fire. If he kills you, anta shaheed. But if you kill him, he is in the fire. This hadith was reported by Imam Muslim. In the second hadith, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, man kutila duna malihi fahuwa shaheed. Any person who is killed while he is defending his property is a martyr. وَمَنْ كُتِلَ دُونَ دِينِهِ فَهُوَ شَهِيدٌ. The person who is also killed while he is defending his religion is also a martyr. وَمَنْ كُتِلَ دُونَ دَمِهِ فَهُوَ شَهِيدٌ. The one who is also killed while he is defending his life. The first one is defending his property. The first one, the second one is defending his deen. The third one is defending his blood, his life. Duna damihi. He is defending his life. He says, Fahuwa shaheed. He is also a martyr. Waman kutila duna damihi. Waman kutila duna ahlihi. Fahuwa shaheed. The one who is also killed while he is defending his wife and his children. I said it at the beginning. That it also has to do with defending our wives, not just ourselves alone. This is the evidence for that point. That وَمَنْ كُتِلَ دُونَ أَهْلِهِ فَهُوَ شَهِيدٌ. The one who is killed while he is defending his ahl. Your ahl are your wives and every other person under your care. Your wives and every other person under your care, they are your ahl. So when you defend them, maybe your daughters and your sisters and your cousins and your nephews and all these, when you defend them and in the process you are killed, anta shaheed. You are a martyr, inshallah. Rajawtu laka shahada. I envisage, I hope for you that you are a shahad, you are a shaheed. And you pass through shahada. So these hadiths also makes us understand the fact that if someone comes, we are to defend ourselves. If someone comes, we are to defend ourselves. It is very important. But these are the areas where you really find it very difficult to explain to someone who is not a knowledge-based person. That how can you say we should not intend to kill the person from the beginning? We should intend only to defend ourselves, not to kill the person. No, we should intend to kill him because he has come to kill us. The Sharia says don't intend to kill him until you don't have a choice except to have to kill him. Do we understand? And the mention of Shaheed here is much. It is nice to mention here that not all Shuhada have the same ruling in the Sharia of Islam. Not every Shaheed has the same rulings. Some of the scholars have divided them into two. And some of them have divided them into three. But if you look at them properly, they are still the same two groups. People like Sheikh Al-Albani alayhi rahmatullah, they divided the shaheed, the martyr, to the shaheed that in the rulings of this dunya and akhirah is a shaheed. In the rulings of this dunya, you know the shuhada, they are not to be washed. A shaheed that's killed in the path of Allah in the war is not to be washed. They are to be buried. And they are also to be buried on the spot where they are killed. There are things like these ahkam that are specified, ahkamu dunyawiyah. And it is not obligatory to perform salatul janazah upon them. Those who are killed on the battlefield with kuffar, it is not obligatory to perform salatul janazah on them. The same thing with their bats, and they are to be buried on the very place where they died. So these ahkam in this dunya is meant for those shuhada who died on the battlefield. And they have the reward of the shuhada on the day of Qiyamah. But there are some shuhada that they do not have this ruling. Like Al-Mabtun, The one who dies of a stomach disease, like the one who dies from an epidemic, ta'un, like the one who dies from a gharq, who drowned, like the one who died from a fire incident, like a woman who died when giving birth to a baby. Yes, all these people are shuhada, but we are still going to bait them, we are still going to perform salah on them, and we are still going to take them to the burial grounds. So regarding the ahkam al-dunyawiyya for a shaheed, they are different here. And their reward is not like the reward in al-jannah of those people who died when they are defending Islam on a battlefield with kuffar. Even when the name shaheed, shaheed is the same. Do we understand? But their ruling is different. Those whose ahkam al-dunyawiyya and ukhrawiyya are the greatest. Those are, there is nobody who is sharing this with any person except those shuhada who died on the battlefield. He says, وَلَا تَقُولُوا لِمَنْ يُقْتَلْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتٍ. Do not say regarding those people who died on the path of Allah that they are dead people. He said, but they are alive. He said, بَلْ أَحْيَاهُمْ. In a place saying that رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ. They are with Allah. Allah is feeding them and making provisions for them. The Prophet Muhammad wasallam said that the reward of the one who dies on the battlefield with kuffar is so much that when he gets his reward on the day of Qiyamah, he will like to come back and die again. He will like to come back and die again. He will like to come back and die again. And upon the day of Qiyamah, the blood that comes from their injuries, it will smell musk, it will smell scent, and they will not be asked in their graves. He said, alayhi salatu wasalam, I think we discussed this matter when we are discussing Adabul Qabr, the punishment in the grave, that there are five people that Allah, they will not be asked in their grave by the Malaika, Munkar and Nakir. They will not be asked in their grave. One of them is those people who are killed on the battlefield. What did he say, alayhi salatu wasalam? He said that the slash of the sword on their neck is enough fitna for them. So they will not have the fitna of the grave. Those who died on the battlefield. This is not for a woman who died when giving birth to a baby. She will be asked in her grave. This is not for the rest of the people that we mentioned that the Sharia says shaheed, shaheed, shaheed. Not being asked in the grave is only restricted to those shuhada hakiki. So that's why they say, okay, there are shuhada hakiki and there are shuhada hukman, hukmi. Those who are real shuhada matayat, and those who are real shuhada hukman, they only also share the name and some rulings of being a shaheed. So these are the two sets of people. The third one that Imam al-Nawawi alayhi rahmatullah mentioned, which can be put in those who share shahada hukmi, or the other, the single group can be divided into two, are those who are actually killed on the battlefield, but they did something that can prevent them from getting the rewards. Like stealing from the property on the battlefield. Stealing from the property on the battlefield, from ganima. It can prevent a shaheed from getting the full rewards of being a shaheed on the day of Qiyamah. So it's a very severe thing to steal from the property of ganima. That is the property you take from the non-Muslims when the Muslims fight wars with them. It's a very dangerous thing. So yes, in this dunya, they may not be washed, because what the people have seen of them, you understand, is that yes, they died as shuhada. But in the sight of Allah, what are they? They have stolen from a property, even when the people did not know. Ah, this one, this gold, it will reach my house. And he's caught, his head is caught. You know, the people will not know, perhaps, that he had taken the gold. And he did that, I'm taking this gold to my house. And you come and say, shaheed, he's shaheed. Who told you that he's shaheed? Inshallah, we'll discuss that in the next reading. The next point has to do with this. As we cannot say of a person that so-and-so is a shaheed, so you can't also say that so-and-so will go to hell, except for kuffar and mushriku. But amongst the Muslim, you cannot say that so-and-so is a kafir and you go to hell. Except if he's a kafir, really. But if he's not a kafir, you cannot say so-and-so is in hell or we go to hell. We can't say that. The same way we can't say so-and-so is in Al-Jannah now. As he just died, he's in Al-Jannah. You can't say that. Only Allah can say that. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can say that, and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Of course, from the revelations that Allah revealed to him, alayhi salatu wa sallam. So these are some of the hadith that makes us understand that we are to fight in defense of our property and our lives. Regarding the Khawarij, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, يَحْكِرُ أَحْدُكُمْ عَمَلَهُ مِنْ عَمَلِهِمْ. When any of you sees, if you see their actions, if you see the zikr of a khariji, we told us who the khawarij are. Oh? If you see them performing salah, you will think that you don't know how to perform salah. I think we have read some of these narrations before. But there's a point we want to refer to regarding it. That's why we are reading it again. He said, يَحْكِرُ أَحَدُكُمْ عَمَلَهُ مِنْ عَمَلِهِمْ. If you see their own actions and compare your actions, you think that you are not doing anything. It says, يَقْتُلُونَ أَهْلَ الْإِسْلَامِ. They are going to be killing Muslims. فَإِذَا خَرَجُوا. When these people begin to come out, it is the Prophet talking, alayhi salatu wasalam. You remember what brought about these comments from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The incidents of Zuhu Waisira, the leader of the Khawarij at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim. The Prophet shared some properties that was sent by Ali ibn Abi Talib from Yemen. And when he was sharing and giving to some people, Zuhu Waisra was looking at the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he did not give to him. He says, Ya Muhammad, idil fa innaka lam ta'dil. O Muhammad, be fair, be just, because you have not been just. And the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wa sallam, فَمَنْ يَعْدِلْ إِنْ لَمْ أَعْدِلْ. Who will be just if I am not just? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the man turned away and started to walk out. He walked out on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet started saying some things about him. Part of what he said is this, that this man is going to have some people following him. And he started to say all these about him. So he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that فَإِذَا خَرَجُوا فَقْتُلُوهُمْ. When they come out, at that time, kill them. And we knew when they came out. They came out initially at the time of Usman ibn Affan, but they really, really came out as a group of people at the time of Ali ibn Abi Talib. And it's brought about the battles of Nahrawan, the battle that was fought in Nahrawan, and they are referred to as Haruriyah. I think we have mentioned most of these things before now. So the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَإِذَا قَرَجُوا فَقْتُلُوهُمْ. When they come, fight them. ثُمَّ إِذَا قَرَجُوا فَقْتُلُوهُمْ. When they come, fight them. The Prophet was repeating it, alayhi salatu wasalam. He now said, فَتُوبَى لِمَنْ قَتَلَهُمْ وَتُوبَى لِمَنْ قَتَلُوهُ. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the glad tidings of Al-Jannah, liman qatalahum, is for the one who fights them. Watuba liman qataluhu, and glad tidings of Al-Jannah for the one that they killed. The one who killed them, Al-Jannah for him. The one that they killed, Al-Jannah for him. And he said, alayhi salatu wa sallam, that kullama tala'a minhum qarunun qata'a Allahu azza wa jalla. Anytime that a horn grows from them, that is, anytime they try to develop, anytime they try to come in the history as you go by, قَطَعَهُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. Allah will bring it down. That's why when the people started to bomb places, started to kill people, and started to say the leaders of the Muslims are kuffar, what happened? The scholars declared them that they are what? They are khariji. So people don't want to hear it. If someone says, no, what Osama bin Laden is doing is from Kharijiyya, it's not from Islam. You say, hey, bin Laden, why are you saying that? He's easy. Evidence. So the matter, like we said, will be taken to emotion rather than what? Knowledge and evidence. So the scholar saying is Khariji. So the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that kullama tala'a minhum qarnun, anytime any of their horns come out, قَطَعَهُ اللَّهُ. Allah cuts it off. Anytime their life start to evolve, Allah cuts it off. So the other one came to Nigeria and said, oh, this one is kafir, that is kafir. Started listing the kuffar. So قَطَعَهُ اللَّهُ. People stood up and made rudud against him. So, and he's nothing to be mentioned now. So himself is forgotten himself now. Recently he was praising the Jamaican government, the kafir Jamaican government. He himself was praising them that they are nice people. Allah understand. The companion who reported this hadith, Abdullah ibn Umar, radiallahu anhuma, he said, فَرَدَّدَ ذَلِكَ رَسُولُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. The Prophet was repeating it, عليه الصلاة والسلام, 20 مَرَّةً أَوْ أَكْثَرْ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. The Prophet was repeating it 20 times. The Prophet said, وَإِنْ خَرَجُوا فَاقْتُلُوهُمْ. 20 times or more. Ibn Umar said, the Prophet was repeating it. When these people come fight them, 20 times or more. He said the Prophet was repeating it. Alayhi salatu wasalam. So it is from this set of ahadith. So when the Imam said, alayhi rahmatullah, that kama ja'a fil ahadith, these are the sets of ahadith that he is talking about. Some of the scholars have even mentioned that the scholars are more, like Al-Imam, the ahadith are more than that. Like Al-Imam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, in his Majmu' Fatawa volume 28, he discussed this matter at length, and he brought many of the narrations in support of what has been mentioned earlier, that we will not need to have to go into. So the Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal continued, alayhi rahmatullah, that وَجَمِيعُ الْآثَارِ, and all the ahadith on this matter, fi hadha, regarding this matter, إِنَّمَا أُمِرَ بِكِتَالِهِ, the hadith only say fight them.